broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for August the 17th in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Ladies and gentlemen, let's just kick off. We got to hurry. We got so much stuff from Lowell today. It's amazing. On last Thursday, I was not here Friday, went on a camping trip. Brian Rust was with us last Thursday. We obviously talked about the Honest Money Report. We talked about Senator Kamala Harris. Prosecuted nearly 2,000 people on marijuana-related charges during her time as AG of California. But you know what? She smoked pot, too. What a shame. The mainstream press not even highlighting the truth about this lady. Wikipedia editors sanitized the entry for Kamala Harris. So there you have that. Pro-life leaders say that Biden-Harris, the most pro-abortion presidential ticket in history. Jason Chaffetz predicted a Biden-Kamala Harris loss. Say the two are fundamentally wrong on all issues. Boy, howdy, is that the truth, Jason. CNN suggests that Biden may even step aside for Harris. Florida sheriff tells deputies they cannot wear masks. Marion County Sheriff Billy Woods says clear communication is paramount in these perilous times. This is no longer debate or no longer up for discussion. He's saying, hey, we can't communicate well enough with masks on. We got to give clear direction to people we're dealing with. We need to clearly understand others and each other, and we've got to not wear masks. Wisconsin State Agency forces masks even while on video calls. They're getting out of control, folks. I guess a governor orders workers to wear masks even when home alone now. I just can't understand that kind of stuff. Scientists now find that wearing certain masks may be more dangerous than wearing none at all, writes Jack Davis of the Western Journal. Lawmaker wants to charge people with murder for not wearing a mask. 17-year-old undergoes surgery after a couple attacks over a water park's mask policy. Teen was aggressively punched by the male and the female. I'm not sure I believe all that story. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying I bet you $1,000 there's more to that story we're not getting. Nursery school forces children into plastic pods to enforce social distancing. See Douglas Golden. Child abuse going on in all the name of Corona even now. I guess Oprah hosts white guilt session. Whiteness gives you an advantage no matter what, they say. No sense denying that we're all racist, huh? What good will it do? The more you deny it, the more they'll just say that just proves you are a racist, huh? Kamala Harris or Kamala Harris, directly responsible for the persecution of undercover pro-life journalists. I guess the pair uncovered the abortion scandal where they're selling baby body parts. Yeah, they uncovered it and got persecuted by Kamala. How extreme is she, ladies and gentlemen, this Kamala Harris lady? We broke it down. John Polton Family Policy Alliance doing a great job. Joe Biden, believe it or not, reads from script while talking to Kamala Harris on Zoom. QAnon backer Marjorie Taylor wins. I guess it's Marjorie Taylor Greene. She wins the Georgia GOP runoff. She believes in QAnon. So Sam went off and told you his views on QAnon. Check that out last Thursday. Available at lovingliberty.net. Trump pressure leads the Tennessee Valley Authority officials to review CEO's $8 million salary. That's a start. But, I mean, when you're talking millions these days, it's chump change. Unless you're into the billions and trillions, it's, you know, I mean, I don't even know if it makes sense to work on, you know. Crossfire hurricane suddenly gets serious, they say. Senators want all records on Obamagate, WND.com. I don't believe they're getting to the bottom of anything, folks. President Trump's been in office almost 4 years, and we haven't locked Hillary up or got to Crossfire Hurricane or Obamagate, or we haven't even got to Barack Obama's birth certificate, now have we? There's a recap of Thursday's show. Friday, I was out. Today, we're live. Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org, is with us. Welcome back, sir.
Well, thanks for having me back, gentlemen. Good to be with you.
And you have an incredible update. You're pursuing this doggedly as possible. Governor's Office of Management and Budget responds to Lowell's query regarding COVID financial bailouts. Lowell?
Right. Thank you, Sam. And this week we can probably put this investigatory line of reasoning to bed. It was the governor's office of management and budget who responded, this Taylor Kaufman in Governor Herbert's office of management and budget who responded. He says, look, the Paycheck Protection Program and the economic injury disaster loans are federally managed programs. And the state of Utah has not been involved with the administration of these programs. The money goes directly from the federal government to the recipients and does not come through our office. And although the information is available on the SBA website, the governor's office of management and budget is not actively tracking which businesses in Utah get money from the federal government, but we do track the total estimated amount of federal funds flowing to Utah. End of quote. Just a brief paragraph in his email reply to me, Sam. But the bottom line really is the state of Utah does not decide who gets this federal money, nor does the state of Utah even track it exactly, although they do track the total estimated amount of federal funds flowing to Utah. So you can, and I did this yesterday. I dabbled a little bit. I went to the Small Business Administration website, sba.gov, and therein was a Paycheck Protection Program webpage. And if you do that, you'll see that over 5 million loans have been approved as of August 8th of this year, totaling $525 million, which is half a billion dollars. That's not quite as striking as I thought it would be. And the average loan size is about $100,000. The number of participating lenders is 5,460. So I guess what? All the banks want to get in on the action? I'm not sure what that means. But that was just a small, investigative journalism adventure I went on, Sam, and just thought I'd try to wrap it up this morning with this report. Sam?
Well, there you have it. And it's interesting, the federal government literally paying the people directly and skipping the states. And they're setting a pattern and a precedence. They do this with schools, too, where money comes straight from the feds to the schools. And even when the states try to stop it, the feds just circumvent the state governments and go straight to the schools. And we're seeing more and more and more of this behavior. And the more it becomes standard practice, the harder it is to fight against, Lowell.
That's a great point, Sam. They're conditioning us to accept solutions from the federal government. Everybody looks to the federal government for the solution, for the handout, and it's a dangerous precedent to be setting. The federal government size ought to be so minuscule that we hardly even notice it, but unfortunately, it's just the opposite, Sam.
And the problem with it is that, on one hand, we're not for socialism, we're not for the handouts at all, but when you literally shut down the economy, literally take people's, break their bread bowl, so to speak. What are people to do? On one hand, you blame people for taking it. On the other hand, if you don't take it, you're going to end up with riots in the streets worse than we've already got. And there's no good answer when government literally steals people's freedom to this degree. There you have it. In fact, coronavirus is the new terrorism, writes Ron Paul, to even highlight the point.
He writes that the House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, has proposed the next multi-trillion dollar coronavirus relief spending bill that will support testing, tracing, treatment, isolation, and mask policies that have been part of a national strategic plan that she's been advocating. And the Trump administration isn't opposed to it, but it's just haggling over the price tag. So I think both parties are at fault here. But what is in this plan which are going to cost us our liberty? Well, he writes this. He says Pelosi's plan will lead to either a federal mask mandate or a federal funding enforcement. Those who resist wearing masks could likely be reported to the authorities by government-funded mask monitors. We can label this the Stasi approach to health policy after the same infamous East Germany, East German secret police force, right? He talks about this for a bit, the plan that would require people to download a tracing app so they could tell where that individual goes, with whom he has been in contact, and whether the individual has been near someone who tested positive for coronavirus. The plan might eventually include the digital certificate that might be required of us, indicating whether you've been vaccinated for or immune to coronavirus. And you might need this certificate, Sam, to go to work, to school, or to even the grocery store, or to ride a bus, a plane, or a train. Think of how many people who feel compelled, who in this new environment might feel compelled to obtain a vaccination in order to get a digital certificate so they could simply go about their work to support their family. Well, Ron Paul writes, he says, policymakers have stated that once a vaccine is developed, it will be rushed into production and onto the market. Supporters of expediting production and use of the vaccine should remember the 1976 swine flu vaccine debacle. And then he talks a little bit about that, Sam. I know you got a commercial break on the horizon here.
Yes, sir. We'll take that and come back quick. Paul also writes something else very fascinating. He says they cannot get rid of terrorism. They cannot get rid of the coronavirus. But what they can do, Lowell breaks that down in seconds.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
All right, bureaucrats, professional do-gooders, and politicians cannot get rid of the coronavirus or cannot eliminate it any more than they can eliminate terrorism. That's a fact. But what they can do is, lol.
They can use terrorism, a virus, or any other real, exaggerated, or manufactured crises to expand their power at the expense of our liberty. Politicians never resist the temptation to use crises as excuses to gain more power. Therefore, says Ron Paul, it is up to those of us who know the truth to spread the message of liberty and to grow the liberty movement. A strong liberty movement is the only thing that can force the politicians to stop stealing our liberty while promising phantom security from terrorists and viruses. End of quote. Sam?
Yes, it's very, I don't even know how to really articulate this, except for, you know, we're beyond the idea that, you know, in the beginning when this first started, we thought, hey, they're overreacting because this is something we've never dealt with to this extreme before. except for maybe the closest thing would be 100-plus years ago with the 1918 flu. This is horrible. People are panicking because they don't have knowledge and they don't have information. Without data, it's very hard to make decisions. A lot of us were polite and gave them a little bit of a pass back then. But as this continues to unfold, lol, you know what? Coronavirus is the new terrorism. They're using this intentionally. All right? The betrayal of trust is upon us. Tony Fauci, or Fauci, in the swine flu disaster, betrayal of trust, writes John Rappaport. This highlights the point we're no longer in an idea that maybe they could be making a mistake. They have tripled down on this so hard, despite the reality, despite the solutions, despite the facts, to where there's no doubt in my mind that those who are evil have this intention, not an accident or an oversight or a reaction to something. It's been planned and carried out methodically all along. And I think Ron Paul with his column and now this incredible column by John Rappaport pointing out this fact.
Well, 11 years ago, Sam, it was the summer of 2009, and this is when the CDC and the WHO were hyping the deadly H1N1 swine flu pandemic and urging people to take the new swine flu vaccine, right? We get this bit of history now from John Rappaport, and it's illuminating. This is stuff that I had never known, Sam, even in the past 11 years. I don't know who has talked about it. Well, he'll tell us exactly who talked about it. But this is a betrayal of trust of the worst order. And so John Rappaport, he quotes a little bit from Robert Kennedy Jr.'s Children's Health Defense website. He says this, quote, Fauci once shielded for the fast-track H1N1 influenza swine flu vaccine on YouTube, reassuring viewers in 2009 that serious adverse events were, quote, very, very, very rare, end of quote. Those are Fauci's words. He used three verys right in a row. Very rare. Shortly thereafter, the vaccine went on to wreak havoc in multiple countries, increasing miscarriage risks in pregnant women in the U.S., provoking a spike in adolescent narcolepsy in Scandinavia, and causing febrile convulsions in one in every 110 vaccinated children in Australia, prompting the latter to suspend its influenza vaccination program in children who are under 5 years old. Well, this is only half of the story, says John Rappaport. The other half, which involves an astounding hoax, was surely something Fauci was aware of at the time. 11 years ago, Fauci was, in fact, recommending a highly dangerous vaccine for protection against an epidemic that did not exist at all. I capitalized those words, an epidemic that didn't exist at all. His friends and professional colleagues at the CDC were creating the hoax. So what were they doing? Well, in the summer of 2009, the CDC was claiming there were thousands of swine flu cases in the United States. But behind these statistics lay an unnerving secret. A major crime, considering the CDC's mandate to report the truth to the American people, secretly they had stopped counting cases of swine flu. This is the summer of 2009. What? What did you say? Yep, you heard me right, Sam. The CDC stopped counting cases of swine flu in the summer of 2009. Why? CBS investigative reporter Cheryl Atkinson discovered the CDC secret, and she found out why. The routine lab testing of tissue samples from the most likely swine flu patients was coming back in the overwhelming percentage of cases, negative. No sign. Zero. No sign of swine flu or any other kind of flu. Atkinson wrote an article about the scandal, and it was published on CBS News website. However, the next bigger step beyond that, putting out the story on CBS television news, was waylaid, meaning no deal, nothing, nada. The CBS shut down any future investigation on the subject, any future publication of the article. Atkinson's article died on the vine. No other major news outlets in the world picked up her article and ran with it any deeper down the rabbit hole. So, John Rappaport interviewed Cheryl Atkinson and learned what she had disclosed in her article about the scandal. And which almost no one today knows or remembers. I mean, I never knew this. Atkinson said, quote, "We discovered through our Freedom of Information efforts that before the CDC mysteriously stopped counting swine flu cases, they had learned that almost none of the cases they had counted as swine flu were, in fact, swine flu or any sort of flu at all. With the CDC keeping the true swine flu stats secret, it meant that many in the public took and gave their children an experimental vaccine that may not have been necessary," end of quote. That was Cheryl Atkinson, the reporter that broke the story on the CDC's crime there in 2009. So what did we have then? Well, we had a fake pandemic, another CDC cover-up, and an administration of a dangerous, hurtful vaccine to ignorant recipients. But that wasn't the end of it, writes Rappaport. The CDC wanted to commit another crime, so almost 3 weeks after Atkinson's findings were published on the CBS News website, the CDC, obviously in a panic, decided to double down. If one lie is exposed, they thought, tell an even bigger one, a much bigger one. And so in November of 2009, WebMD article it shows us what the much bigger lie was. About 22 million, it says, came down with H1N1 swine flu by October of 2009. How did they know? Well, they had quit counting cases because so few cases could be attributed to swine flu. They just made that number up, Sam. And Fauci knew this the whole time. And so concluding the article, Rappaport explains how this fraud relates to us today and to the coronavirus pandemic. He says, fast forward to 2020, who, in his right mind, armed with a little bit of history, would even believe anything the CDC is saying about COVID-19, the discovery of a new coronavirus, or the case numbers, or the accuracy of the diagnostic test, or the need for lockdowns and economic devastation, or the safety and importance of a vaccine? Who would believe a single word of it? And who would believe anything coming out of the mouth of Dr. Anthony Fauci, who hyped the highly destructive swine flu vaccine for an epidemic in 2009 that didn't even exist, Sam?
And sadly, Fauci is President Trump's point man. They disagree a little bit in public, but hey, Fauci needs to be fired yesterday. We need to bring on some of these doctors that will tell the truth and will be honest about this. We need to bring some of these reporters forward. In my personal opinion, President Trump should stand side by side with John Rappaport to get this news out. This is serious, serious business here, folks. And not only that, not only did they secretly quit counting the cases, not only did they lie and double down and say there was so many cases where they knew it wasn't true, but then they literally used this vaccine and gave all kinds of unsuspecting, ignorant recipients this vaccine. And if you study the Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund, you'll realize that billions of dollars have been spent when vaccines are not safe and effective. Then they run around and tell you all day how safe and effective they are, knowing full well that's a lie and that there's been big, huge payouts for when it's not safe and effective. They're lying. And then they run around and tell you that we're peddling fake news, folks. Go figure. But it gets worse on this march to clear understanding that this is absolutely intentional. There's a Gary D. Barnett article written called Pandemic Equality. All but the ruling class will be equal slaves, lol.
He says the worst is yet to come, Sam. He quotes that previous 6 months of lockdowns, isolation, quarantine, mandated mask wearing, job loss, and economic destruction were purposely manufactured so that this planned second phase could be released on the public just as normal flu season begins, Sam. More of this on its way, says Gary D. Barnett.
And he points out the previous 6 months of lockdowns, isolation, quarantine, mandates, mask wearing, job loss, economic destruction, all setting the stage for round two.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
what was to be a crowd of 50,000 people for a week-long celebration in Milwaukee will now just be a couple of hundred people and a lot of online events. The Democratic National Convention beginning this evening. It will feature speeches this evening from former First Lady Michelle Obama and Senator Bernie Sanders. Meanwhile, President Trump is going to Wisconsin this evening for a rally in Oshkosh. After violence broke out in the streets of Chicago again over the weekend as officers clashed with rioters, Chicago's Democratic Mayor Lori Lightfoot says it was agitators at the protest that sparked all that violence.
We are absolutely not going to tolerate people who come to these protests looking for a fight.
Some protesters said it was police who showed up looking for a fight.
The police showed up with shields, batons, and pepper spray.
USA Radio News.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who've agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-460-1663. That's 1-800-460-1663. Again, 1-800-460-1663.
National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien has struck down several reports which had been claiming that President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin may have a summit to discuss arms control before November's election. O'Brien told NBC's Meet the Press yesterday the White House briefly considered it but has since rejected that idea. Many police and fire organizations in New York City pledging on Friday they'd make sure a 9/11 remembrance that was canceled by city officials would be put back on the calendar. Now New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo's taking action, as we hear from USA Radio's John Hunt.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo announced that the annual September 11th light installation, during which two columns of light are projected into the night sky from ground zero, is back on. The governor said the state will provide health care personnel and supervision in order to ensure the safety of the large crew required to assemble the Tribute in Light installation, which features 88 7,000 watt xenon light bulbs on the roof of a parking garage.
USA Radio News.
All right, Lil Nelson with us, campaignforliberty.org, RonPaulInstitute.org. When the governor's office in Utah says we don't have any idea how much money's flowing to Utah, we don't keep track of the money coming straight from the feds. There's no authority for the feds to take tax dollars and redistribute them because of pandemics or emergencies or whatever you want to call it. Then the coronavirus is the new terrorism, writes Ron Paul. Tony Fauci and the swine flu disaster, betrayal of trust, writes John Rappaport. Secretly, the CDC stopped counting flu deaths back in 09, lied about it, covered it up, pretended there was a massive cases, gave people the vaccine that turned out to be horrible. The National Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund expenditures went through the roof over that one. No one telling you any of the tale, are they? What did we have in 2009? A massive cover-up. It was known by Fauci and crew. And now Donald Trump makes Fauci the point man. Pandemic equality. All but the ruling class will be considered slaves. They'll be equal slaves, Gary D. Barnett writes. The previous 6 months of lockdowns, isolation, quarantine, mandates, mask wearing, job loss, economic destruction. They were purposely manufactured, lol.
And we've talked about this on several shows before now, about how widespread, well, how much more likely it is that you will be infected if you wear a mask, and how much more likely it is that you will suffer for, other illnesses if you quarantine for, from other people for long. Well, those in control here, they knowingly did this, knowing that, we would have weakened immune systems over most all of this country, right? Because we're not getting out and about. We're not exercising our immune system. And so that would lead to much higher level of sickness and disease just when the ruling class and the government, they want to advance their agenda of total control. They're going to monger this fear, and it's going to happen as the flu season advances, as the temperatures in the northern hemisphere grows colder, so will the totalitarian response by these authorities, and their enforcement will become more brutal and more oppressive. How do we know this? Well, just one look around the world will alert anyone paying attention as to what is soon going to be coming to the United States. For example, in Australia, police brutality and dictatorial state measures are now out of control, and that type of authoritarian madness will soon consume the United States. Curfews in Melbourne go from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m., as if this fake virus just comes out at night. Cyclists are forced to have papers. Park visits require permits. Sniffer dogs are patrolling in public locations, and forced vaccinations are a few of the things going on today. But it gets much worse. Police have been given state authority to enter homes without permission or warrant. Unlawful stops and testing of citizens for alcohol is normal. Strip searching is becoming common in New South Wales. There is horrendous and brutal treatment, including throwdowns for anyone not wearing a mask. I watched a couple of these videos last night, by the way, and breaking out car windows and removing occupants by force are common practice. This list barely scratches the surface of what is happening and what is to come, Sam. Travel bans are becoming universal. Americans are getting ever closer to being fully locked inside the walls of their own country. An American passport is virtually worthless now. It is important to understand, Sam, this insanity is staged. This is Gary D. Barnett talking. He says, in his opinion, it is staged and is not what it is claimed to be. While total deaths were similar or less in 2019 and so far in 2020, then in 2017 and 18, the lies continue about COVID. False death certificates, hospital bribery for claiming more COVID patients, faulty testing, closings of many hospitals when claims of hospital shortages were reported.
The building of hospitals at incredible expense only to treat no patients, and on and on and on and on, and it even gets worse now. Dr. Joseph McCullough writes an article and interviews a frontline nurse by the name of Erin Marie, how do you say this, Olszewski?
Olszewski.
All right, anyway, the interview is very fascinating, to say the least. Nurse Erin, is what I'll call her, is a frontline nurse and reports on the ground,
Boy, and this is a blockbuster, Sam. I actually watched one of her 9 videos a couple of weeks ago. And here in writing, this is posted just today at lewrockwell.com. This gal worked at Elmhurst Hospital basically it was known as the epicenter of the epicenter, right? I mean, New York is where Elmhurst Hospital is located. New York was the epicenter of the COVID pandemic in the United States, and Elmhurst was the worst there. Well, so she had served in the Army in Iraq for about a year. She returned home, went into nursing. She's been in this industry about 20 years as working as a nurse, most of that time in a private hospital in Florida. Well, they were actually basically laid off there because they didn't have any business working. Nobody was coming to hospital when after COVID came along this year. And so she went up to New York to help because she likes to help people. She's a nurse, and she wanted to help people. And, well, it didn't take her long, Sam, to realize the doctors and nurses were literally just pumping patients full of medication. It was devastating for her to realize this, that she was just actually contributing to the problem. Went in with a lot of, you know, roadblocks. She would hit a lot of roadblocks in her work because she actually wanted to help the patient. But doctors were more concerned about profits than people. And so what she did after she got to Elmhurst Hospital there in New York, she started going undercover after even 1 week on her new assignment there because of the numerous patients that were dying. And she saw that it was malpractice causing their death. So she went undercover. She consulted a lawyer, Sam, and went undercover and began recording video recordings of conversations there in her hospital at Elmhurst Hospital, and discovered that it was kind of like a war zone. People were literally dying left and right, but they weren't utilizing thousands of nurses sitting around in New York waiting for an assignment. She finally did get her assignment at Elmhurst Hospital, and it took her literally one shift of 12 hours to realize that this was absolute chaos, not because we didn't have enough staff, but because they were literally negligent. They were literally helping patients die there. Clearly, when you go into a hospital, you're at great risk of medical mistakes that can accidentally kill you. So Olszewski's experience highlights one of the key problems, willful, gross negligence. This is why it's so crucial to make sure you have an advocate with you around the clock who can speak for you, ask questions, and ensure you're getting the appropriate treatment if you go to the hospital. So Mercola's writing this. He's parenthetically inserting the statement, you make sure you got an advocate if you ever go to the hospital, because you may not have anybody there on your side if you don't have family there helping you. So basically, because of COVID infection concerns, family members were excluded from the process there at Elmhurst Hospital. They simply were not allowed in. And to me, he writes, that was probably why so much of this abuse was able to occur. No family oversight, no liability. And with almost all patients on ventilators and meds, they couldn't speak for themselves. So this nurse, basically, in a four-week period, Olszewski witnessed only one patient, Sam, one patient only, who survived his ventilator. And he didn't even have any medical indications that warranted a ventilator. That's crazy. Many of the doctors treating COVID-19 patients at Elmhurst were first-year residents, many of whom had never interacted with patients before, had no bedside manner, no compassion. And this nurse, Erin Olszewski, writes this. She said there were a lot of errors being made and unnecessarily causing a lot of death. The failure to segregate infected patients from non-infected patients worsened the situation. And so Mercola, back to Mercola's article, he writes this, perhaps most egregious, COVID-negative patients were listed and treated as confirmed positive, and some were even placed on medical ventilation. Olszewski related the incident of a male patient admitted for high blood pressure, a condition that is easily remedied and under no circumstance would require ventilation. But he got ventilated. It's an awful story with an awful ending. And they wouldn't even attempt to resuscitate anyone because the patient did not have a DNR order. Nobody cared. Olszewski explained this. She says, they essentially turned Elmhurst into an all-COVID hospital. If they're going to admit somebody, they were either COVID positive or they were awaiting the test results. And so they'd be admitted as COVID rule out, and the hospital would still get the kickback of $13,000. Well, they put them on a ventilator, they get an additional $39,000.
And it gets worse. We'll tell you about it in seconds. The frontline nurse writes a book. We'll give you the title. Have your pen and paper ready.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org. So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
All right, a frontline nurse at Elmhurst Hospital reporting the truth. They don't like it. She's got 9 videos out and a book chronicling her experiences and exposing the fraud taking place, Lowell.
Well, and basically the proof of the fraud that was being committed is in the pudding, so to speak, because right after she released these videos and the news got out about Elmhurst Hospital, guess what happened? Well, the number of deaths dropped precipitously there at Elmhurst. That was incredible. The death rate at Elmhurst plummeted after Erin Olszewski's undercover video started making the rounds on social media. Her hour-long interview in the Perspectives on the Plandemic series, that's what her video series was called, Perspectives on the Pandemic, has had 1.4 million views, right? Her hour-long interview in that interview series was released to the public on June 9th of this year. That's just, July, just 2 months ago, right? Daily death rates in New York City hospitals dropped dramatically after that, Sam. Well, guess what? Her book is slated for release tomorrow, August 18th of 2020. It is going to be worth reading, Sam, but it's going to make you angry. It's going to make you mad.
Yes, it is, ladies and gentlemen. The book is called Undercover Epicenter.
Yeah.
So it's Undercover Epicenter Nurse, if you will. How fraud, negligence, and greed led to unnecessary deaths in Elmhurst Hospital. Anyway, very interesting. We'll keep an eye on that. And they end this article about this, Dr. McCullough. Anti-lockdowners. You got to take a stand. You got to fight. You got to tell the truth. Lowell?
That's right, Sam. The CDC frankly admits that a disease this widespread, in fact, cannot be stopped with non-pharmaceutical interventions like social distancing. It requires herd immunity. Imagine that. The quicker the better, developed by the young and healthy while sheltering the high risk. Failure to follow this protocol results in millions of unnecessary deaths. They fooled us, and now they're eager to cover their tracks.
Once again.
Once again. Good point.
Because it really, 2009, and if you go back to the 70s, there was a big vaccine scandal back in the day, too, and the 80s, and that's what started the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Fund in the beginning. And so, look, this is a long train of usurpations regarding vaccines, and they're fixing to perpetuate and peddle the mother of them all coming up, folks. Beware and stand for the truth. We do have a little bit of good news. Kurt, from your articles on the 12th that you sent me, judge refuses to shut church that has defied the COVID-19 orders. And the pastor says,
well, he says this isn't a health issue. It's an ideological issue. It's, sourced out of the L.A. Times. WorldNet Daily brings this to us. And this judge there in Ventura County, I think that's a place where Sam's hung out before. Anyway, the county had asked Judge Vincent O'Neill to hold Rob McCoy, pastor of the Godspeak Calvary Chapel, in contempt of court and direct the sheriff's office to close the church. O'Neill denied the county's request to shut the church, but scheduled the hearing on the contempt claim for August 21st. So the bottom line is, who knows what will happen, more to come later, but at least for now, the church isn't shut down, Sam.
Well, and that's good news, and we got to keep working on that. At least there's some good judges once in a while. I don't like the idea that he left an open door for the pastor to be beat up on this, but I agree with the leader of the church there, the pastor. Hey, this isn't a health issue. He says it's an ideological issue. I say it's a political issue. I mean, I say it's a propaganda issue. I say it's a fake news issue, Lowell.
Well, it is, Sam. But another bit of good news, Ron's column that he posted today, just minutes ago, Ron Paul says President Trump's hiring of Dr. Scott Atlas to his coronavirus task force may just be some good news that we needed. As the media has reported, President Trump has sidelined headline-hogging Anthony Fauci in favor of Atlas, the former Stanford University Medical Center chief of neuroradiology. By the way, this Scott Atlas is against lockdowns and against mask mandates, Sam. A little bit of good news on this.
Yeah, we've been watching Dr. Scott Atlas, and he's spot on, and it's been our recommendation on Liberty Roundtable Live that President Trump fire Fauci and replace him with Dr. Scott Atlas. So this is a piece of good news as long as Fauci truly is sidelined and or fired. But if Fauci and Scott are just there to battle it out and give two opinions and get nowhere and continue down the road of tyranny, it might not be as good as we hope. We'll have to keep an eye on that ball, but that's potentially great news.
And I think that's one of the reasons for the violent protests that have engulfed many of our large urban cities, because they need a two-pronged attack here. They need to get the the law and order conservatives on the side to bring the feds into the cities, and they need the progressives on their side with this lockdown mandate. And so it's kind of a two-pronged approach here. And neither of them are good, but they're both boogeymen, right? They're both boogeymen, each designed to suck us in, suck a certain faction of the world into their lives. But I hope that Dr. Scott Atlas turns out to be, to replace Fauci and speak out the truth about this, because we are in fact hurting one another by, wearing masks all day long, because we're weakening our immune systems, and by doing lockdowns, we're killing ourselves economically. It's just not good, Sam, not good at all. In fact, let me just say at the bottom of this article, I'm suggesting we need to take a stand. The lockdown masterminds, they created this moral panic by making everyone believe that lockdowns can stop death. I mean, that's the myth, right? So that anyone opposed to their desired action of lockdown was labeled a killer, right? You get labeled, if you're not wearing a mask out there, you get labeled a killer, right? You're dangerous to society if you don't have a mask on. How convenient. This is a psyop for the ages. So here's the truth, Sam. People who believe in herd immunity believe in science. Herd immunity developed by the young and healthy is what spares the maximum number of lives of the most vulnerable. In other words, it's the lockdowns that kill people. Now, the quicker that herd immunity is developed, the faster the most vulnerable elderly can get back on with their lives without fear. This is urgent, Sam, because they don't have much time left in many cases. So, no, we don't want to kill grandma. It's you who support lockdowns are the ones killing grandma.
In fact, there's articles in the mainstream press in Utah today even that are highlighting this reality that people are not getting routine tests necessary to spot cancer early and everything else because they're afraid to go to the doctor or the hospital because of the COVID. And so there's abuse, there's more alcohol consumption, the list just does not even end. In fact, the drug trade has been going on for decades, and we've covered it. And you say, how does that relate to the coronavirus? And the answer is it doesn't. But it does show the government does involve themselves in conspiracies, and the government is involved in trying to destroy the greatest country on the face of the earth. Rogue agents within government are out of control, and Jacob G. Hornberger writes a piece related to this. We're switching gears slightly, but I submit it's along the same lines. It all has to do with the destruction of America. Why immunity for the CIA is the question.
Well, it's a great question. Jacob G. Hornberger has been writing something great nearly every day for about 30 years, Sam. He's one of our best-kept secrets. Everyone really ought to be reading Jacob G. Hornberger. He is president of the Future of Freedom Foundation. He's talking about the CIA here, basically has omnipotent power to do whatever it deems necessary to protect so-called national security. That includes, of course, the power of assassination, a power that the CIA assumed practically since its inception, since 1952 and 53, right, when Mossadegh was deposed. The CIA also wields the power of torture, the power to record its torture sessions, and the power to destroy such recordings to prevent Congress or the public from listening to them or viewing them. And basically, it can do anything it wants to do in the interest of national security. So now we come to this the killing of a gentleman in whose name is Enrique Kiki Camarena. In 1985, this 37-year-old DEA agent, Kiki Camarena, he was kidnapped on the streets of Guadalajara, Mexico, brutally tortured for 36 hours before final execution. Well, it was commonly believed that the crime had been committed by the Guadalajara drug cartel, which was headed by El Chapo, right? The Ernesto Fonseca Carrillo. Apparently, but he's normally known by us as El Chapo. Well, the DEA assigned a fellow named Bereyes to take charge of the investigation. So Bereyes, who felt quite comfortable operating in Mexico, he found three former members of a Jalisco State Police who were willing to talk. They came to the United States. They told Bereyes that back in 85, they'd been working double jobs, both as state policemen and also as bodyguards for El Chapo, right? And so they are the ones who unfolded this story. And what they found was that this fellow, Kiki Camarena, he was tortured by a fellow retired CIA agent, right? Named Rodriguez, Felix Rodriguez. He was inside the torture room and taking an active role in a brutal interrogation. Why were they interrogating him? Why were they torturing him? Because they wanted to see how much he knew about U.S. involvement in the drug cartel. So anyway, bottom line here, Sam, you get lost in the details, or I do anyway. Bottom line here is that the U.S. government had been helping the drug cartel of Mexico bring drugs into the United States, both for money and for a reason to leverage, leverage against politicians, right? And so the torture and the murder of the DEA agent by a CIA operative is the heart of this story, and it's all put into a movie now, a four-part docuseries on Amazon Prime, Sam. Unbelievable what you're going to see, but it's streaming as of just a few days ago, and it's well worth. I haven't seen it yet because I don't have Amazon Prime, but I'm hoping to see this movie and get the story on how the U.S. government is just as corrupt and evil, probably more so than many of the governments of the world condemned by the U.S. government.
And you say, why immunity for the CIA? Because you have black op elements, rogue agents in government that behind the scenes really run the deep swamp. And this is proof. But it's starting to cover not only the drug trade, but it's starting to cover the medical field. It's covering high tech. It's covering, and they're literally backdooring where you think you have freedom and you have these businesses, but they're all in bed with drug cartels and collegiate universities and big business. And behind the scenes really is what happens. And the puppets are out front making speeches like Kamala Harris and others.
The name of that movie, by the way, is The Last Narc, Sam. The Last Narc.
The Last Narc. Watch the movie, report on it. Let us know, Kurt. You like movies. Hour one of the can, two coming up. Thanks, Lowell. God save the Republic.